Welcome to the Horsewise podcast with Lynn Reardon, where we share stories of horses and people and what they teach each other. On today's episode, February 29th of a leap year, I discuss my associations with the word leap and horsemanship. I hope you enjoy the show and have a wonderful day. Hi, everyone. I'm Lynn Reardon, the host of the podcast and head coach at Horsewise. Today is February 29th, so it's a leap year here in 2024, and I just couldn't resist doing a podcast on this day. I always really like leap years. I don't know why. I think it's just, for me, the word leap has a very positive connotation, and I thought this would be a fun opportunity to relate that to my work with the horses and also just to sort of philosophically, why is it that I look at a word like that and immediately have more of a optimistic, outgoing response to the word as opposed to maybe a more fearful or negative view of that word? So there's lots of famous sayings about the word leap. I think one of the most typically quoted is look before you leap, because, you know, bad things could happen on the other side, so you want to be aware. And that's certainly true. I don't believe in, you know, randomly jumping around, not knowing what you're doing. But my favorite leap quote with the word leap in it is from Henry David Thoreau. And that quote is, "We must walk consciously only partway toward our goal and then leap in the dark to our success." There are a couple of ways, well, there's probably many ways, but in my mind, there's a couple of ways to look at that last saying. And one is to interpret it as essentially, we can never know anything. This can be a popular approach in certain types of philosophy and psychology, where you are to some degree always in the dark, even when you are thinking that you are very aware, that you are very connected to facts and figures, that true knowledge is really not quite attainable that way. That knowledge comes from something mysterious and sort of outside of our actual sensory perceptions, outside of our ability to cognitively process the world around us. The reality around us is not truly 100% all of the knowledge that we can gain. And that, as I said, can be quite popular in many different disciplines to have that approach. For those of you who perhaps studied philosophy or are very interested in philosophy, that type of approach really tracks with Plato, with Platonic type philosophy. I myself happen to be more of an Aristotle girl. That's more my deal. And so the way that I personally interpret that saying of Thoreau's is not that true knowledge is attainable only through sort of fumbling and leaping in the dark at the last minute, but that sometimes we're not aware of how we have actually gained knowledge. You know, our subconscious brain is constantly tracking, is constantly taking in data, information, visual stimulus, all of these different elements, and processing in the back of our brain like the giant, most epic, you know, computer ever. And just the brain is such an amazing thing, and the human mind is incredible. So I just find all of that very interesting in general to read about and study. And again, for me, the leap in the dark is not this idea that we have no connection to finding the truth, but more that we have to trust what we actually have truly gathered, that maybe that information hasn't come out in such an obvious way, but it's there. And that actually brings us closer, if we're working with horses, to the way that horses process the world and think. So again, a fact that always never fails to astound me, horses don't have prefrontal cortexes, zero, nada, don't have that capacity physically within their brain. So their approach, their way of assimilating reality is different than ours in some respects. They don't have that layer of judgment and analysis, you know, all of the different components that come with a prefrontal cortex, not to mention a more developed brain in other ways, you know, evolutionary speaking, that humans have over equines. So that part of the quote about kind of going in the dark, taking that leap in the dark, is more about, for me, thinking like a horse in my work. And because, of course, I apply that quote to my work, that most quotes that we love, philosophical sayings that we love, we tend to apply to our work as well as our home life. And so I immediately think of horses. And when I take that leap in the dark, it's not to pray to a particular religious figure or God. It's not to throw my fate, so to speak, into the hands of the stars or the clouds. Again, if you're a Platonic ideal kind of person, you might think more in terms of clouds than stars. But for me, it is getting more in tune with how the horse thinks. And because we are so used to thinking the way humans think, because that's how we are, it takes a little bit of a quieting of our brain, of our normal way of processing information and our normal way of accessing information in our conscious mind, to discover all of these other elements that we have been sensing, recording in the back of our mind, in the subconscious mind. And that's sort of the leap in the dark to me. And in those moments, you know, some people call it spidey sense, which I think is also a great term, where you're working with a horse and you are working in one respect in sort of the classical, this is what I'm asking the horse to do. I want there to be a good feel between us. So it's not simply mechanical. And you're kind of gauging how you and the horse are doing together in the requesting of a behavior or an act by the horse. I'm asking the horse to do X, Y, and Z, and the horse's response and how you guys are doing it together. Like, that's very important to me, that I want to be able to do something together with my horse. Sometimes that means that, you know, I have to change how I approach things in order to help the horse get with me, or for myself to get with the horse. So that's always a very interesting process. So there you are, you're kind of tracking that, and then the spidey sense comes up. And it might be that the horse looks calm. It might be that the horse is obedient. They're doing what you're asking them to do. It might be that they're also aware. They're not super, super shut down. But you kind of get the sense, almost in, and for me, I often feel it almost in my fingers, like through the lead rope or the reins, that something isn't quite right, or the horse needs something a little different. And your body sort of responds to that spidey sense, where you go, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I think it might be appropriate at this time to maybe turn my horse more to the left or to do X, Y, and Z. And it, for me, almost all of the time, it will turn out that I had, you know, on a subliminal level, let's say, I had noticed some uneven footing, or my horse had noticed some uneven footing long before we had gotten to it, but was already planning on some level physically to address it. And I finally realized it, you know, again, kind of in the back of my brain, and I shifted my body so that the horse could step aside. And then after we pass it, I see it. So that's like a very kind of practical example. But there are other things that are more subtle, where everything is going as well as you know how to, you know, create that good feeling. And you're working with a horse who's maybe not quite responding the way that you expect. Not that they're being necessarily aggressive or super scared, but there's something that isn't quite lining up. And you're not really sure, if someone were to ask you to articulate that, to say, what do you think is not quite right? You wouldn't necessarily have a verbal answer to it. And in those moments is when I get quiet and I try to tap into that sense of what might I be perceiving there in that back part of my brain that hasn't reached the conscious mind yet. What is this horse signaling to me, or what am I noticing? And in those cases, often, at least in my experience, it has been something to do with how the horse needs me to adjust something in my physical or emotional presentation. Some horses require a little bit more of a larger presence from a person, and some horses, for example, prefer a smaller or softer presence with clarity. So those are, for me, are the leaps in the dark. They're not scary, wild, jump off the precipice and hope something's waiting there at the end. It's more like the dark, to me, symbolizes the shutting off of certain typical ways that I process the data before me, the horse before me, the animal before me, quieting my extremely verbal and active and imaginative, you know, conscious mind just for a moment to tap into what I might be perceiving that's a little quieter. And a lot of times what I'll refer to it in my mind is the small voice. It'll be this very small voice. My spidey sense is super quiet. The leaps that I make are whispered rather than yelled. And it's just this kind of quiet factual thing. And then a day or two or a week later, when I'm thinking about that ride or that particular session with the horse, I will realize what it was that I had picked up on that had not seemed obvious. And it was there before me in the actual reality of the moment of working with that horse. I love those moments. It's really fun to see how we tap into a different part of our brain's ability to perceive and see things and to sense the horse and trying to offer the feel to the horse. Horses really do speak and speak, so to speak, in a tactile way. They don't articulate. They are not verbal in the sense that we are. They don't have that capability, right? So they communicate with their bodies and through a sense of touch and smell. It is just really interesting to me. So now tracking back to the word leap, that's one of the reasons I associate it with a positive connotation, is I love that saying and how it tracks for me with horsemanship. But the other thing that I love about the word leap is it always seems like a very playful word for me. Jump always sounds a little bit forced. Like I had to jump into that. Like, you know, that meant you were kind of at a standstill and you had to jump. You had to suddenly forcefully catapult yourself from standing flat on the ground. And for me, a leap is something that is a natural outgrowth of motion. You might be already running or dancing if you're talented in that way, which I am not, or skipping or skating, whatever it is. And then you take a leap forward from that motion already. That to me is what the word leap always implies, is not jumping from a standstill, but leaping from already having forward momentum that is playful, that is fun, that is, again, the word joyful for whatever reason comes to mind. You leap for fun. You might jump for your life, but you leap for fun. It has more exuberance to it for me. So that is my approach to the word leap and how it applies to horsemanship. And I just thought I would share that with all of you tonight as I'm sitting here realizing that this day is not going to come out. This particular date isn't going to come around for a few years again. And how I wish for you and for myself and for all of my listeners to have the kind of joyful, fun leap year that I associate with that word to begin with. As always, thank you for listening. And I hope you have a wonderful leap year and a leap day. At Horsewise, I help people learn how to think like a horse so that they can spend more time riding like a team. If you would like more information, just drop me a line at horsewisecoach@icloud.com.